Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. America has executed 1,472 people since lifting the ban on capital punishment in 1976. South Dakota, compared to other states, is fairly conservative with executions, but the ones we have remain in collective memory. So do the crimes of the executed and the victims who were killed in horrific ways. SDPB's Kevin Wooster writes about crime and punishment and the role of journalists in covering executions in his latest blog post. You can find it at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin Wooster joins us on the phone now. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's good to be back. Maybe not for this particular subject, but certainly
this was such a compelling read for me. So I'm looking forward to the conversation, even though it is a difficult one. And we're going to go back a little bit before we go forward, because the last time I talked with you, we were talking about this sort of conversation you had with Attorney General Marty Jackley, and somehow this conversation turned to capital punishment, and you were looking at that time at both of your Catholics and what the Catholic Church's leadership on this issue was. Let's start there a little bit with kind of how that has changed over the year and how Pope Francis is changing it even in further.
Well, and that's a conversation that Jackley and I have regularly, of course, because I keep bringing it up. he and I have this. You know, he's a Catholic, I'm a Catholic. He supports the death penalty, and he would argue in very limited cases, you know, for these really horrendous crimes. And that his argument, his fallback position, is that it isn't so much an eye for an eye as it is protecting society, and that the church's position on that, the church had always allowed a provision to protect society, and that was primarily in a way that, you know, that somebody that couldn't be contained and could get out and kill again to save other lives, the taking of that life could be justified. And, you know, I think over time, especially as our criminal justice system and our detainment facilities have improved and the systems have improved, the recent popes, especially, you know, beginning actually this question clear back as far as John the 23rd in the 1960s, began to look at that, and John Paul and Pope Benedict and especially Pope Francis. We've pretty much concluded with bishops and everyone in the hierarchy that there just is very rarely in a place like the United States could you ever justify the taking an execution. And so that's what Jackley and I argue about. And, you know, he points to the breakout in the prison where a guard was killed horribly. You know, a guy came in on his day off to work for somebody, ended up getting killed. And in a case like that, Jackley argues you save lives by executing someone that be capable of doing something like that.
Right. This is R.J. Johnson, which we all remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we have that conversation. And I will have to say, Jackley, I ask him, how do you feel about when you witness these? Because he feels it's his responsibility to witness all of them and to be there with the family of, you know, the victim. And he says he feels horrible. And if he didn't feel horrible, he shouldn't be there anymore. He should feel horrible. But you know, and he talked about the time in that where Becky O'Connell, you know, back in 1990, abducted a 9-year-old girl, abducted and you know, murdered, and Donald Mueller eventually was executed for that. And one of the things that Jackley said in that last column I wrote was one of the hardest things for him was that his mother wanted her daughter's soiled clothing back. And, you know, what a horrible thing to, after all those years, to have to relive it like that. But he believes Tina Curl, the mom, got a level of closure from the execution.
So he has to hand the actual clothing, and it's in the state in which it was preserved for evidence back to the mother at that point.
Yeah, which is pretty tough. And, you know.
Yeah. And then, we move from an attorney general's responsibility to the responsibility of journalists, and really talking about this time when you worked at the Rapid City Journal, where there was another execution, this one of a large page in 2007, and what that conversation was like. Take us behind the scenes and tell us why it's important to have that conversation in newsrooms.
Well, a horrible, horrible murder of Chester Allen Pogue, 19 years old, spearfished kid, kind of an innocent kid, touching on the bad side of town a little bit, but, you know, his mother would say he was really a good kid, picked some bad friends, and he picked this Elijah Page, Riley Piper, and Daryl Holtley that got to kind of running with these guys and invited him over in March of 2000 for a video game play at his house, and ended up being robbed and tortured and murdered over a period of hours in the most horrific way. I mean, it's just, I didn't detail it much in my column here. I Bill Harlan, the reporter who was the main reporter on that story and who was the one that covered and witnessed the execution for the Journal as one of two reporter witnesses, says in my column from this week that, looking back, he probably included too much detail into that because it was just horrible. So when we were in the conference room at the Journal back in the summer of 2006, at a time Elijah Page was scheduled to be executed, we were planning the execution, and the column starts with Michael Laforte, then the editor, asking for volunteers. We had earned or had one spot of the two that were drawn, and the Journal drew one and the Associated Press drew one for witnesses, and so we were trying to pick our witness. And I tell you, my hand didn't go up. I didn't want to be the witness. And that's kind of where this thing starts, is how you go through this process of covering it leading up to this execution, and how you, in our case, how you pick the person who was going to stand in there and watch this guy take his last breath.
And Bill Harlan was a medic in Vietnam, so he has been through some things already, and he is feels it's his responsibility to be there. Tell me about him.
Yeah, Harlan is a great guy, great sense of humor, creative writer, creative thinker with a Vietnam experience, you know, that leaves you changed for life, of course, as a medic, and had friends die in his arms and, you know, covered with blood, and I mean, he knows the world out there. And he felt like it was, as one of the senior reporters, he and I were a couple of the older reporters on a staff that really had a lot of experience at that time. It was probably his responsibility. And I would have done it if I'd been selected to do it, but I felt like Harlan was better prepared to do it. And he felt like it was responsibility. I know that Michael Laforte kept looking at me as my hand stayed on the table and some of the younger reporters' hands went up. And I just kind of looked at him and said, look across the table, there's your guy. He's the guy we want doing it. And I said as much during that conversation. I think some of the younger reporters were aggressive, as they should have been, were kind of offended that I said Bill ought to do it. And that's what we ended up finally picking.
And Bill, you've talked to him recently about this, and he said that the murder itself was, his words were like, it was ISIS-like, or, you know, it was at that level of what they did to Chester Alan Polk. And if anyone deserved it, if anyone deserved the death penalty, it was, you know, most likely Elijah Page.
Yeah.
He hesitates, and you have a story here as well about your wife and declining to witness an execution because she's feeling that at some point her presence in the room will make her complicit. So let's talk a little bit about a reporter's responsibility to be in the room or to not be in the room, and how they make those kinds of decisions.
Yeah, and it's really tough. Like I said, if Michael had said, Kevin, I want you to do it, I would have done it, and I would have hated it, and I wouldn't wanted to be there, and I probably would have felt some level of guilt afterwards, because I'm personally morally opposed to executions, the death penalty. But you have to write it, and you be fair. And Mary, my wife, who was a reporter then, later on, we had a local woman in town here whose son was going to be executed. Down in Texas, where Huntsville, Texas, where the executions are fairly common, and so they sent Mary down to cover that, and in the days leading up to it, and write about the community and everything, and she did everything except witness the execution. She got to know the family and wrote about the family and wrote about whatever their dysfunctions were. There seemed to be love there. The other siblings, the mother, and they were anguished over the loss of their son, who had committed a horrible crime and was going to die for it. And so she covered all that except walking through that door and sitting in that witness room. And she just told Michael Laforte she couldn't do that, for she didn't want that image in her head, and she felt like she would be complicit by witnessing it. And Michael was good about that. He said, that's a decision you make, you know, knowing that other reporters will be there. There would be a record there. He would have preferred our reporter be there, but he wanted Mary to do this reporting, and I think he was wise in selecting her. But it was because it was a very sensitive, thoughtful, you know, this is a woman that goes down there. She's a mother and a grandmother, and she makes a connection with this mother who's preparing to watch her son die and did watch him die. It actually heard his last words, which were horrible words to hear.
And as you talked to Bill, what was his response of, you know, his experience of watching the execution?
Well, Bill has seen death in ways that I never have, of course, and that most people never have. And so he pointed out that he had seen people die in a lot worse ways than Elijah Page did, which was actually pretty quick, pretty uneventful, almost matter of fact, Harlan said. And as he said, he had seen friends die in horrible ways. He had seen enemies die in horrible ways, and all those affected him. But he was also not willing to say, having personal experience with PTSD, that watching Elijah Page die didn't affect him. He just may not have figured out yet how, or it may not have emerged. So he's not going to make that judgment yet. I mean, this is, and Mary, when she was down in Huntsville, talked to reporters that had covered many, many, many executions, some of those Texas reporters.
Right.
And they all talked about how they have to guard against having it become commonplace for them, because it starts to. And, you know, to me, that's one of the dangers about this whole death penalty thing, is we start killing people because we consider them to be evil, and they have certainly done evil things, and it becomes kind of commonplace.
Hmm. What becomes commonplace?
Here's another one, and next. Mundane. Down there, I mean, the reporters have trouble sorting them out. You know, here we have this one that sticks with us, and everyone sticks with us. Donald Moeller sticks with us, even though I didn't write. I was in Sioux Falls working for the Argus when that happened, just a few blocks away at Omer's Market. This poor little girl's abducted. You know, a horrible crime. And for years and years and years, Donald Moeller professes his innocence, and later on finally says, yeah, I did it. You should kill me. I mean, these are so complicated, these issues. And we understand the family, if they, some do, some don't want this closure, which, you know, I've talked to people that never get, and I talked to a priest in my story last week that I know who said he hasn't experienced, witnessed families getting all that much closure off of it. It still haunts them, and, you know.
So much in this blog post and the one from last week. You can find it sdpb.org/Wooster. And Kevin, thank you so much for bringing this sort of multifaceted, multi-layered conversation to us. We appreciate your time as always.
Sure. I did what I could.